Okay, so we're being recorded, and let's recap who we have. We have Sarah and Deb, Grace, Vicky, Hildy, and myself. Did I miss anyone? Super.
What about Heidi? Is she coming on today?
Well, she RSVP'd, yes.
Okay.
So
and Barb?
I don't see, Barb is no reply, so maybe she was unsure.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. The first thing we had in our agenda was reports from the different committees and officers. Do you want to start there? Do you want to mix up the order a little bit since we don't have everybody? No preference?
Well, let's see. We have communications. I can do membership.
And we have our treasurer. Okay, so why don't we just go ahead and do the best we can with the report and move on. Let's see. Deb, since you have to leave just a little bit early, why don't we let you go first with the treasurer's report?
Sure, I would be happy to.
Okay,
I
but
sent
the person, who just joined us?
This is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Hello, everyone.
We're just getting ready to hear the treasurer's report with Deb. So, Deb, you're back on.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I sent out, the reports last night, but for some reason they popped back. And so you should have a report from the reports from Sarah with our budget for 2016 and then also the financials. So this is sort of, I guess in my mind, a little bit of a catch-up. So if we could start with the spreadsheet that shows the budget, and along the bottom of the Excel spreadsheet, there's a summary page for the budget, and then there are the assumptions. And the assumptions are around the programs committee and also around the membership committee, both of those as to how the numbers were generated. So those are in there just as a point of reference if you want to see how some of the calculations were developed. But if you go to the summary page and look at the middle column, the actual for 2015, this gives you a recap of what our revenue was and our expenses for calendar year 15. Which isn't significantly different than what we're budgeting for 2016. But for 2015, we ended up with a little over $4,895 was the exact amount for the total revenue for calendar year 15. And our expenses fell under that, which is a real positive, a little over $4,000. So we had net operating income of about $746. I forgot where I was at. So if I slip in like a thousand or billion, just I really do know where I'm at. Anyway. This is one of those days I need to be able to laugh at myself. I can guarantee you. So anyway, if you go back to the first column, the budget for 2016, our most of you probably already know this. As far as if you've been on the committee for a while, but our budgeted year, our financial year, is on a calendar year where the International Coach Federation, the national organization, is on a fiscal year, which ends March 31. So this is a little bit different when we get into some conversations around some of the reporting around tax returns or the marketing grant, if you will. They're on a different timetable than us. So just wanted to make that point. But if you look at what we've budgeted for revenue for 2016, it's a little over $4,000, a little bit less than this last calendar year, about $300 less. So I think we might have some work to do there to try to generate some additional revenue. Our expenses were about what they were last year, just a difference of about $34. So our projected net income for 2016 is a little less than $500. So probably the biggest difference is not in any one particular item, but if you look to the expenses for 2016, several of those are a little bit higher than what they actually were for 2016, and then we have a little bit of a shortfall in respect to our overall revenue. So let me just stop here and see if you all have any questions. Okay. So if you, aside from this call, when you have some time, take a look at those tabs, because folks really did a nice job as far as detailing out what the estimates were as far as the revenue and expenses for the program committee and also for the membership committee. So take a look at that and see what you think. If you don't have any questions in respect to what we actually did for 2015 or the budget for 2016, I'll be happy to move on to our income statement for January and February.
Okay.
Sounds good. Keep on moving. Yeah, so for the month of January, if you pull up that tab, what I'm trying to do is put all of this in one spreadsheet so that it calculates, so that we can see where we're at every single month and then where we're at each quarter. So we can kind of chart our progress, if you will. So if you look at the month of January, we generated about $130 in revenue, mainly due to the program, the monthly programs, if you will. Our expenses were relatively low, so we had net income of about $63. And then for the month of February, it was a little topsy-turvy, if you will. We had good total revenue between the programs, membership, and we received a rebate from ICF of a little over $100. Now, our expenses during the month of February, the one that really stands out was the $300 that we paid for the website. So that put us into a loss situation for the month of February, a little under $100 as far as a loss for the month. Quarter to date, we're at a loss of about $34. You see that in the fourth column over. So we're a little topsy-turvy, if you will, there in respect to what we've generated and what we've spent.
We should have membership dues coming in March, though, right? March, April?
Is that when we would normally see that come in? I don't have a point of reference for that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the deadline is, putting on the membership hat, the deadline for renewal is the 31st of March, so the rebate for the... would be coming in probably around the April time frame, probably late April.
Okay. Now, what I'm doing with this, it might be a little bit different than what we've done in the past. What I'm doing is, instead of having revenue and expenses and trying to make it fit into a specific month, what I'm doing is I'm recording it in our financial statements when it's actually received. And so that's, I think, a little bit different than maybe what we've done in the past, so that it's recorded when it's realized. So we might have some of these months that are a little off kilter like this, because I'm not trying to match it up into a particular time frame. It's when we actually spent the money and when we got the revenue.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah,
and then I had a couple of other things I just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of. Sarah and I had a little bit of time to spend together, I think it was in January, and so I moved $500 out of our reserve account into our checking account. So right now, that took our balance in the reserve account from $2,000 to $1,500. And then I also moved during the month of February $500 from our PayPal account into our checking account. So we've got a couple hundred dollars in our PayPal account. The checking account is around $1,700. And then we had a requirement that our expenses for the marketing grant needed to be submitted by March 31st, by the end of ICF's fiscal year. And so I submitted that a couple of weeks ago, and we received confirmation that they accepted the $500 worth of receipts. So then we should be eligible for our next marketing grant, from what I understand as far as how the how the process works. Sarah, do you have anything to add to that? I don't know whether or not if you have a perspective on how that's worked in the past with the marketing grant or the timing of that.
I have no idea when they paid it last time. I think last time they actually gave it to us ahead of time without even having receipts. I don't know why that was. So, but it's nice to know that we've got $500 coming in, you know, that to basically offset, you know, the negative 34 in net income.
Right.
So that's nice to know.
Right. When I looked through all of the previous records, you know, just to familiarize myself, it appeared as such that this $500 that we submitted receipts for applied to the $500 they basically fronted to us. And so since we met the requirement, that was sort of my understanding because I didn't find anything else previous in the files. So since we submitted this $500, it seems like it squared us up, and then the other marketing grant would be coming based upon our eligibility as far as the receipts. It seems like we're providing the receipts for what they've already paid us, is what it seems like. And maybe I just need to go back to Kelly, or Kristen, I'm sorry, Kristen, and actually validate that so that we know what we're actually getting reimbursed for, because right now it's not real specifically clear. It's just how the files line up and what I'm assuming. So I'll take that as a next step and try to get that clarified.
Great.
Okay. And that's all I have, unless you all have questions or anything that I've shared with you that's not clear that you need some clarification on.
Beth, this is Ilvy, and I really appreciate the explanation because it felt very clear, and I got it, and that doesn't always happen with me with numbers, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Deb. That was a good report.
Yeah, this is great, Deb. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to go on mute because I can't predict when someone might come up and sit down next to me, so here in this airport. So I'm just going to go on mute for right now.
Okay. And if they call your flight, you have a good one and safe travels. Okay. Ildi, if you'd like to talk to the Communications Committee.
Sure. Let me just a little here. So on our Communications Committee meeting that we had on the 14th, we discussed the newsletter a little bit, and since Jillian's not able to be on the call, I'll give you a quick update. She wants to get comfortable with the new format for a couple of months. For those of you who have gotten notices about information she'd like to add to this upcoming newsletter, please send that in to her. And then once she's comfortable with the format, we're all comfortable with it, then she is looking at maybe adding some more media elements like videos and things like that. And there'll be two member interviews, and Grace is going to be conducting one of the interviews. They'll both provide those. You'll see those in the next newsletter. Then as far as the communications calendar, Heidi and I coordinated as far as when events are happening and then what a communications plan might look like for each event. So I created that calendar, put that on the, it's on the Google Calendar, put those in there for the next meeting and shared with Kelly. So we're trying to all get on the same page as to when notices go out. We're continuing to share things on social media, and we have some plans in the works about simplifying our social media strategy and having it be a little bit more collaborative, so you'll hear about that in the future. And then Claudine and I connected on getting more profiles in the Find a Coach page, and so you'll... If you're not in there and you're a member, you'll probably be hearing from us to encourage you to get your profile in there, and we will be reaching out to other members as well just to, you know, just a friendly thing to say, hey, we'd love to have you in there, so please do that. And then finally, There is an opportunity. As you know, sometimes when we're on those conference calls, it can feel, you know, we sort of stop and start, and somebody says somebody else says something. And so there is a technology out there called Zoom that would be a great way for us to have a meeting where it's a little bit more collaborative because we would actually get to see each other. Now, this is something, it's a very easy one. I don't know if you've used GoToMeeting or even Google Hangouts or some of those. And sometimes it can be a little complicated and there are technical issues. Zoom is very easy because it's a simple one click and you don't necessarily have to download anything to your computer. And it makes it an easy way for us to collaborate. So it might be fun for us as a leadership team to meet using Zoom rather than just on the phone. So I just thought I'd throw that out there and see what people think.
Does that mean we have to be dressed for the call?
We can wear our pajamas. We can have a pajama party call.
Okay, a pajama optional meeting. Sounds good.
Only the tough part, Vicki.
Only the upper part. I may not brush my hair. You know, you'll see the unbrushed hair look.
The key is, at least what I've done in the past, is see what you do is you only make sure the camera can hit like your collarbone and above, and you put your hair back in a ponytail. You put on glasses, and it all looks good.
If all else fails, just wear a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the idea, Ildi. We, on the RAC calls, which is the Western Region Advisory Council for you new folks, so once a month I get on a call with the chapter leaders from the Western United States and Canada, and we implemented Zoom, I don't know, 6 months ago, and it's really, I think, made the calls much more, I don't know, intimate's not the right word, but more connected, I guess I should say. And yeah, I mean, the number of technical difficulties have been minimal. So I must say, having just come back from the ICF conference, Zoom is the platform for virtual meetings universally, hands down, everyone really likes Zoom. So anyway, that's my two cents.
Any other thoughts from people?
I think it's a great
idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we might require some training, though. I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree, Heidi.
Well,
it sounds as though the leadership team is at least willing to try it out. So what I'll do is I'll get some information, log in and all of that, and then when Gail sends out the agenda or when Kelly sends out the agenda for the next meeting, there'll be some information in there on how to log in. And what I'll do is I'll make a note to be available half an hour before the call. If anybody's having issues, you can email me or call me, and I can help you work through them. Would that work for people?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Perfect for me. All right. Well, then I guess that's it for communication.
Thank you, Ildi. Programs, Heidi.
Okay.
So,
updates. The latest program was in Santa Fe with Julie Claire, and those who attended will probably agree with me. It was a blast, and I really learned a new tool using crayons in the coaching process, and it really gets, when people draw where they're at, it really gets you very quickly to the core issue. I found it amazing. I never thought that you could use it, but I think it's a very, very helpful tool. Julie is wanting to offer it again sometime maybe later this year or early next year in Albuquerque. And Sarah will talk and see what we might be able to do to offer it to the Albuquerque coaches, because only three people drove up from Albuquerque and the rest were Santa Fe coaches. But I think it's a real powerful tool, and Julie was a great presenter. I thought it was a great program. So, sorry, guys.
It was fantastic. It was so fantastic.
Yes. So sorry for those who missed it. but we'll try and do it again. So I'm sure we can do something. And Sarah, I was going to maybe reach out to you and see if you would be willing to have us do it in the conference room. So
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so we'll talk more, and Julie would be more than willing to do it. So the next program is Elizabeth Rowe, and she will do an in-person on April 21st at 4 p.m. It's a two-hour session. Barb, are you on the call?
No, I think she's not.
She's not. Okay, I thought she might want to introduce it. So Elizabeth will walk us through how do you deal with issues that come up that are more of an organizational development type in the coaching session. And she will also teach us some tool around change management. It will be 2 hours, and we'll be able to offer 2 CCAUs in core competency. And it will be in person at the CNM Workforce Training Center. And this might be a program that might be of value to the HR community as well. So I don't know if Deb or if I should contact Jeff Gruber and see if they want to post it on their website. What do you think, Deb?
She's on mute, so
I just unmuted. So to post it on which website? I'm sorry.
What's the organization called? The HR community? The
HRMA or SHRM?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that topic might be of interest?
I would think so. Or any of the, maybe even any of the executive coaches may run into something like that.
Yeah.
Do we pay for that to post on that, or?
I don't know, you know what, I'll forward the program to Jeff Gruber, who said he would, I forget who he said he could contact and ask if they would like to show. No, I don't think we pay for this, because sometimes we do show ATD programs. You know, there's a link on our website, and they sometimes feature our programs too if it's interesting to them. So it's more like an outreach. Not necessarily. I don't think we have to pay for that.
I think it's like anything that we can do to stimulate more interest or people participating in our in our workshops would be great.
Yeah, and Elizabeth is so fantastic that you know, it would be I'm sure it's going to be a fabulous program and would really I think highlight the value of coaching to that community. So
yeah.
I'd love to see us do that.
Yeah. You know what? I'll take that. I just took that assignment. I'm going to send it to Jeff today. And see if he can maybe get it to be announced.
You know, along those same lines, I'm wondering, do we know if there are other large organizations besides, you know, Sandia, for example, that actually has internal coaches? Because
CNM
I'm wondering
does.
If because
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering,
we invite the CNM coaches to our meetings when we do in person at the Workforce Training Center, because this way we get the room for free. Normally the room would be several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if there's other organizations throughout Albuquerque that has internal coaches where we could market to them.
That's a great idea, Deb. I know Presbyterian has internal coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So is anyone on the leadership team in contact or know any of the internal coaches, for instance, at Presbyterian?
I think Jillian does, just because she used to work there.
Oh, so she might be able to reach out and let them know.
Maybe. Yeah, you might want to send her an email and just ask. And she's in the
somebody,
OD. Julian's in OD over at UNM, and so I would admit maybe some people in her group might be interested
as
well.
Now, I would like to ask Ildi as communications team. I'll be happy to take Jeff Gruber on, but would you be willing to reach out to Jillian?
Yeah, absolutely. I can,
okay.
I can, you know, ask her if she knows of any coaches that work in organizations. I'm putting that as an action item for our minutes, so we should all just reach out and let you know who we know, and then I'm happy to take that on and send out information and share.
Yeah, the I'll do it right away for the April 21st one for Elizabeth Rowe, and if you would talk to Jillian, let her know if we could still get that going before we have that we offer the event. That would be great.
Sure. And if you want to just forward the flyer again, and then we can, that's something we can provide to everyone, to the different organizations that we know.
Are you talking to me?
I am, Heidi. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, the forward the flyer, I mean, it's in your email, right?
Oh, okay. So we don't really have a separate flyer that we can send out?
No. Okay. I mean, I get an email just like you do from Kelly.
Okay. I will make sure that we all have that, and we can forward that to folks that we know who might be interested in attending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, think about it. If we can get more people to attend the programs, first of all, we spread the word about coaching in the community, number one. That's great benefit. Number two, our community grows. We reach out to other organizations. And number three, when they attend the programs, it's cash in our coffers that we can then use to create even greater programs.
I agree 100%. And what I would also like to do, because of communications, we can certainly send stuff out, but I'd like to encourage everyone on the leadership team to forward that email that you get and share it with people that you think might be interested. I think if we all really kind of focus on that, then we can spread the word and get more people to come.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
Yep. That brings me to the next program, because I'll need your help on that one. Are we ready to move to the next one?
Sure.
Sounds like it. Okay, good. So the next program is May 19th, and it's a virtual call, 1 hour, and we have been able to twist Mary Beth Schuwen's arm. She is a CTI trainer and MCC coach. And she was asked last year to do an exercise called Captain and Crew, which is part of the CTI training program for the CTI coaches. And it didn't come together last year. So this year we reached out to her and we said, look, we could probably offer this to the whole coaching community. And so she has agreed to do it. It's going to be May 19th. Again, that's a Thursday at 4 p.m., 1 hour, and it's called Captain and Crew. I sent the information to Kelly and to Jillian to include it in the newsletter. And now what we need is that CTI coaches, if you would spread the word that this is now being offered as a regular program. So,
okay, great. That's great. This is Sarah. Mm-hmm. I'll send it on to Lainey. CTI coaches are very organized, thanks to Lainey's leadership, so I'll just let her know and
excellent.
Send the word.
Yeah, and I'm thinking even other CTI coaches outside the New Mexico borders who did their training a while ago and never got to meet this tool. So, you know, again, we could reach out and maybe get other coaches. We have sometimes coaches calling in from other states. So if the word gets spread, then I'm sure it's a virtual call, so no reason CTI coaches couldn't call in from other states.
Great. I'll ask Lainey if she can connect in with the other coordinators from other states and get the word out.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I'll also put that on the ICF calendar, that they've changed how that works. It used to be pretty easy to get your events on there, and I submitted, I think it was our January event, to it, and it never made it onto their calendar. So Sarah and I actually are coordinating about following up with that. But to the best of my ability, I will try to get it on the ICF calendar of events, because that might be a good opportunity as well.
Thank you, Ely. That would be fantastic. That might create some interest, actually. So then that brings me to our next program, which will be on June 16th, and it will be our social, summer social, and I don't want to announce it for sure. I'm still getting confirmation, but it looks like we will hold it at the St. Clair Winery.
Ooh.
And we'll have our own little patio, and we'll provide a three-course meal, actually. There will be appetizers, main course, and some dessert, and it's going to be a grand summer social. I've been approached by the Santa Fe coaches, and they said we should do the socials a little bit more enticing. So we have decided to make it, a real social event, but we will also offer a program and offer a CCEU for that event. I don't have details yet. We're meeting next week to work out the details on that. That brings me to the next one. So July, August, typically we don't offer programs. We take a summer break. And then in September, we have secured Sandy Mitch, and she's also an MCC. And she will present a virtual call, 1.5 hours, 1.5 CCEUs in core competencies. The topic is Rising Strong, and that's based on Brené Brown's work. We're very, very, very excited to have her present this, and it will be on September 15th from 4 to 5:30 p.m.
Heidi, as you talk, I'm just getting so excited about the lineup that you and the programs committee have come up with. This sounds just so interesting and fabulous.
Thank you. Yeah, we have really tried to offer something for everybody and make it interesting and mixed. And thank you. But we're not done yet. It gets even more exciting. So potentially, and we haven't secured it, but we think we might be able to persuade Ann Betts, who's been trained by CPI and is a master in coactive coaching, to do a program for us in fall on neuroscience and coaching. And so far we've only had verbally that she agreed that she would do it, because she just moved to Santa Fe and came to our social gathering, and Elizabeth was able to speak to her. I had tried to get her last year and wasn't able to, so we're trying to get her to do a program for us in fall. But again, it's still not confirmed, but that would be another program we would like to offer this year.
Fabulous. It sounds great. What a lineup.
So that's all I have. Nikki, do you have anything to add to the program?
Just that so many people have helped us with suggestions and ideas, and we encourage everyone, we're working on next year now, to continue to give us their ideas and contacts. Yes.
Thank you, Heidi. It sounds like Sarah said, a wonderful, wonderful lineup.
Sarah, did you want to represent Claudine and say a few words about membership before we go on to talk about
Sure. The
conference you just attended? Go for it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let me, I'll just kind of give you a few highlights, and then Claudine was unable to be here because she's on a plane right now. So I'll give you some highlights, and then she drafted this really fabulous report of where membership is right now and what they're working on, which when she gets an internet connection, she'll forward to everyone. First and foremost, right now in terms of ICF renewals, so that's ICF member renewals, we were at a count of 31 as of, I think it was Friday. and apparently which is tracking to what we've done historically. And when the remaining leadership team members and committee members renew, we'll be at 35. And I just want to say I renewed on Friday, so we're at least at 32. So, and they the membership committee would like to have some kind of renewal social event for members that sign up by a certain date. And she was just wondering if she needs to get leadership team permission on that. And I don't really know what to do with that because I'm not on membership, so I'm just going to kind of throw that out there and let Claudine follow up on it.
Well, aren't we kind of running out of time if the renewal is to be before the end of March?
Well, after the renewal date, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm not going to, since I'm not Claudine and the membership team, I'm just going to tell you what's on here, and then, as I said, I'm just like Claudine to follow up on it. One idea that occurs to me is maybe we could roll that into the fabulous social event in June, but, you know, again, I don't want to sort of be representing Claudine here. So anyway, that's just an idea that they had.
You know what? Could we get those wonderful muffins again?
Oh, the ones, yeah. For those of you that weren't there last year, no, the year before, we plied members with, what was it, brownies, Gail, and cupcakes.
That's
that Gail
right.
made. And when people were offered brownies and cupcakes, they filled out the survey. maybe we need to do something with that. I don't know. Okay, so that's where we are right now, and they're going to be emailing the members if not renewed and making contact to get us up to our 50 members. So that's in the works. Let's see. They are also looking to recruit some new committee members, and they've been thinking about how to do it in a way that's fun, where there's engagement, and kind of thinking differently, sort of, you know, utilizing the ideas in our strategic plan. And what they're thinking about is actually having more people on the committee, but having them do smaller things, like maybe 3 hours a month at most. And some of the ideas they have with that are to have somebody who's called the associate campaign assistant. So that would be somebody who works on the associate membership. We don't call them membership, but having people sign up as associates. Also somebody that would be on the credentialing community of practice, somebody to help with the newsletter write-up, someone that was the coach's happy hour assistant. I don't know what, I'm assuming that's somebody that would go to coach's happy hour and represent ICF. Gail, is that right?
To represent ICF with the membership committee and welcome new members.
Oh, cool. Okay. The communications conduit assistant, as they're calling it, so to work with communications on, I guess, getting the word out about membership. And then the fun and social coordinator assistant. And what they'd like to do is to advertise or get the word out about these new roles via the various communications channels that we have. Stay tuned, I guess, on all of that. And they're still working on trying to get these credentialing community practice off the ground. And right now they're looking to find a venue, dates, and speakers to do an in-person meeting. And so once they've got that done, they'll let us know. And they're also, they said that they want to work with the communications committee to ask more members to put their profiles on the Find a Coach page. So Claudine will be sending that report out to everybody so you've got the, you know, more of the detail, but those are the highlights. And Gail, is there anything important that I missed there?
I think you captured everything nicely.
Well, she did I'm basically reading. Claudine did such a fabulous job. But it seems like we're in good shape there with our membership count at the moment, and some really great ideas. So I'm looking forward to seeing where you and the committee go with that. So there you have it.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, so next on the agenda is the ICF Global Conference, which Sarah recently attended. So I'll let Sarah tell us about that. And Sarah, we may not have time to get to a talk on communities of practice. So just be aware and take all the time you need to share about the conference, because I'm sure we're all interested in it.
Okay. Let's see. The ICF conference was in Charlotte, and it occurred over basically a three-day period, and it was like being at the UN of coaching. It was amazing. There were people from 64 countries, and it seemed like the entire time, if I would go to breakfast, a lunch, a dinner, you know, a breakout session or whatever, I was constantly meeting new people, and, I feel like I didn't even scratch the surface. There were so many people there. But it was just fascinating to see how ICF is, you know, in all parts of the world. And, in fact, Nigeria, I think, is the most recent. ICF Nigeria is the most recent chapter. So it was just phenomenal in that way. Just some highlights, and some of this is in the president's message for the newsletter. But my biggest takeaway from the whole thing was, well, first of all, I should say that there were keynotes, there were a lot of breakout sessions. I would say most of the time was spent in conversation with other chapter leaders, and they'd have breakout sessions related to building alliances or programs or member engagement or any number of topics. And then, you know, what came from those sessions was shared with the larger group. So it was really kind of a melting pot of ideas and brainstorming and talking about challenges. And so it was fascinating. And so my big takeaway from the whole thing is that regardless of where you are in the world, for the most part, you have the same chapter issues, challenges, formats, things that you're doing. I mean, it's amazing how comparable our situations are as chapters. However, depending on the local landscape, it can alter your priorities. And for instance, in Europe, there are entrenched country-focused coaching organizations that ICF competes with. For instance, in Germany, there are 30 coaching organizations in addition to ICF Germany.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, in the Netherlands, there was one huge local one that they compete against, you know, which ICF was started in the United States, so ICF is it here, but not so in Europe. So a big part of, you know, the priority for chapters in Europe is to kind of, I guess, establish market presence and sort of, you know, get coaching market share. So that tends to be the focus there. You know, I talked to one woman from Brazil where the economy is completely in the tank. And, you know, their big challenge is convincing people to pay for coaching and convincing people to join a professional organization because it's expensive to join ICF. You know, they still have to pay $245 like we do. So, you know, it just varies country by country in terms of what the priorities are. I would say that the big thing, you know, that I take away from what we're doing and how we kind of fare in that whole world is that our focus on community as our number one priority is very unique. I would say that, well, when they asked, people said that professional development and building coaching awareness for coaching were the top two priorities. And, you know, I found myself over and over again sort of raising my hand and talking about how, you know, we place community as our top value as an organization because that's what our members want. And, you know, and I found, you know, our casual get-togethers, the Santa Fe Social Hour and the Coaches Happy Hour down in Albuquerque and such, I ended up sharing that as a best practice a lot, particularly for chapters that were struggling because they felt like they had to do some big program. And when they found out they could just sort of go and, you know, get together with coaches and hang out, they were very interested in that idea. And so, you know, I guess one of the
huge advantages that we have as a small chapter is, you know, we have a lot of member engagement, which is fantastic. And, you know, the bigger chapters just struggle to have that. So we're doing really well with that. And I also must say that there was so much talked about different ideas and different things that our people are doing. And I must say that I'm very proud of us for staying focused on who we are and what we all want and doing that and not getting sidetracked with a lot of other things that chapters do, because there was a huge amount of talk about burnout. And so I'm really glad that we've kind of charted our own course. So I have a couple other points I want to make. Before I do that, do you guys have any questions or anything else about that before I move on? No? Okay. Okay, a couple other things coming up. A big initiative for ICF this year is building consumer awareness of coaching, and consumer means individuals and organizations, and strengthening ICF's global brand. And it's hired a PR firm, and they're going to be targeting different publications around the world to get the word out about coaching. And they are going to be focusing on, in the U.S., at least one of the periodicals they're focusing on are the business journals, so like the Albuquerque Business Journal. So I'm hoping that out of that we'll get some coverage for coaching here locally. And it seems like the company's located in Baltimore, and they seemed open to working with us. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes, but I'm hoping we can get some local coverage. The next thing is that ICF is about to release the Global Coaching Survey, which you probably are aware of. PricewaterhouseCoopers did it, and they got about 15,000 respondents, and they seem very excited about it. So in the next few months, they should be starting to get the word out about that. It's going to be a big part of the PR campaign, and hopefully it's a document that we can use with clients to promote the value of coaching. So that's coming up. And then finally, there was just so many different ideas and best practices and all shared there, and I took copious notes to every session that I went to, and I put them all into a document and organized it by committee as much as I could, so that, you know, you can just go to membership if you want to look at it, or programs or whatever. And I will send that out after the meeting. You can take a look, and if you've got questions, I can certainly answer them. Given that this is the year of enrichment and enhancement, I guess what I'd like to say about it is these are just ideas, and they are by no means, you know, we shouldn't try to do everything on the list. I mean, I think we just want to look for those things, or one thing, or maybe nothing. But anything you think would be useful and enriching and enhancing, to take it. And if not, just what, you know, don't. Because I must say, after 3 days of all this stuff, I was in complete overwhelm. So don't go to overwhelm. Really, just to use it, you know, if it's helpful. And if not, just disregard it. So I'll be sending that out. That's kind of it on the ICF conference. Anything else you'd like to know about it, just offhand? I should say it's a great event, and if you want to be president and want to know one of the really fun things about being president, being able to go to the conference is one of them. It's fantastic.
Okay, I want to be president.
Or just go with the president.
That's pretty fun.
That's a great recruiting tool, Sarah.
What's that?
That's a great recruiting tool, Sarah.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so... there you go.
So remember that nominating committee. Yes. thank you, Sarah. That was great. Looking forward to looking over your notes. If you want to start a discussion on communities of practice, we have about 8 minutes left.
Sure. And before I do that, just one other thing. Ildi and I met last week to talk about succession planning, because that's on our strategic plan. And we sort of batted around a couple of ideas about that. And personally, I'd like to see us kind of do a little bit more in the area of succession planning. So the two of us talked about getting together on May 6th for a couple of hours at my office at the Bioscience Center to talk about what that might mean to us. And so we're planning to do that. And if any of you would like to join us, we'd love to have company if this is something that would be of interest to you. And really what we want to be looking at is how to bring more people into the leadership team and then how to create other opportunities for who people are already on the leadership team to move into other leadership roles. And just really create kind of a robust, pool and flow, I don't even know what the word is, but to create a lot of engagement and participation in leadership in our community. So that'll be May 6th, my office, 1 to 3, if you'd like to join us. So that's that. And then on the communities of practice, so a couple weeks ago, Michelle Blumenfeld in El Paso, who was emailed me and Ildi, and she was working on developing a community of practice for life coaches. And there was one call about it, and then she, for whatever reason, I think she's got a lot going on, and it seems like her interest is kind of waning too. She just wasn't sort of feeling the energy to do this. So she emailed us and said, it was great. I mean, she was just totally honest saying that she was, it wasn't sort of working for her right now. And so that community of practice looks like that's not going to go anywhere, at least for now. And Beth Bloomfield, a number of months ago, reached out to some of the coaches in Santa Fe who were the experienced MCC, PCC coaches to see if they were interested in a community of practice. And they didn't seem to have much interest in it. The CTI one, which really isn't part of ICF, but the CTI group is actually going strong. And that's really good. So that seems to be working there. And then, the credentialing one, I think they're trying to put that together and see what that's going to become. And so, I'm wondering about this community of practice format, what we think of the format. This is a year of thinking differently about doing things differently. And so, I'm just wondering if anybody has any thoughts. I mean, like in the case of life coaches, I'm wondering, is there another format that would serve them better? Experienced coaches, same things. Maybe community of practice isn't it, maybe something else. So I want to just kind of throw that out there for some discussion and thought, in 3 minutes or whatever it is, and see what you guys think about that, the concept or whatever.
This is Ildi, and something that comes to mind is a lot of times communities of practice sort of happen almost organically based on the need. And, a couple of people will connect, they've got something that they are really focused on, and they connect, and then they kind of share about it with somebody, and then they're like, oh, I'm excited about that, I'd like to join that too. So it seems as though if we create this space for it to happen organically, I don't know what that looks like, but it almost seems as though us trying to structure these from our end has not been the way to go. So maybe even the approach is what we should focus on changing.
Other thoughts? Well, does that mean you don't have thoughts? too much to think about? We need more time?
Well, I think I'd like to think about that. Maybe take it as an assignment for all of us to think about, maybe even talk to our teams, and then come back with some ideas at the next leadership team call.
Nice. Good idea. How do other folks feel about that?
That sounds fine.
Yeah. Sarah, are you good with that?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, I think that's the best we can really do, given the time.
Yeah.
And LD, I like your point, because I think you're right. As you know, as I look back on the communities that we do have here, they did kind of grow organically out of a need. So I like where you're going with that.
Okay, so why don't we have everybody take the idea of communities of practice back to their teams, back to their committees, and talk about how it's not really going real well right now. And I know from being on the membership committee, that one is struggling. And talk about it, think about new ways to approach it, maybe not even do community practice, maybe do something else. Who knows? But it's the year of thinking different. So there's no parameters, no handcuffs on you. Okay, and we can bring back that feedback to the, let's see, what month is this? Is this month? To the April leadership meeting. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we have about 1 minute left. I don't think we have time to talk about anything else. Is there, since we're trying to make these leadership calls more discussion-based, today we did more reports. We hadn't heard reports in a while, so we got caught up. Is there anything we need to be changing in our leadership team calls? Anything we need to tweak right now, or do you want to hold the course for now? Or what are your thoughts?
I think we're doing good. At least from my perspective, I'm happy with how we're doing it.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I agree. I think this seems to be working well. I like the flexibility.
Okay. And we can change whenever we need to. So we're not stuck with any one format. If you do have thoughts and things you want to share and change and don't want to say them here, feel free to send an email. We'd be happy to do that more privately. Okay, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Good week.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.